heart beats faster and faster.
The man imagined fantasy out of fact, ghosts out of trees, and voices out of the wind. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Ghost Spinner Demon Hunter Show.
Oh, that's right. Free paranormal broadcasting where you are guaranteed to get your money's worth.
Hey, gang. We are live in studio once again, and we'll be in the Genie chat room all night long.
And you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
There you go. And of course, this is the Ghost Man, Sean B.
And that would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And that would put us right at April 5th broadcast of our show.
Here we go. The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burrs and is broadcast live on Omnisound, KarmaCast, Planet Paranormal, and Absurd Radio, and is recorded for Planet Paranormal, the Black Vault Radio Network, and Para X Radio.
All right, well, tonight's guest, guys, hold on to your hats, Melissa Martin Ellis, author of the Everything Ghost Hunting book. She'll be stopping by to talk everything ghost hunting tonight on the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show.
Oh, well, that was a quick one, Sean, so
yeah,
let's just say that the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is beyond the normal broadcast. And it starts right now.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Original
Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yes.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us on what's sure to be another great episode of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
I always love how positive Sean is about that.
I try to stay positive, man. It keeps us going. It keeps us going really good. We got a huge storm blowing here in the Indianapolis area, guys, so if anything happens with the show tonight, it'll be due to that. It is pretty bad. It's coming down. Raining cats and dogs, as it would be.
Well,
so what are you doing, man? What's going on?
Well, you know, it was a quiet weekend. I'm researching for a case that I'm working on. So, you know, I spent a lot of time doing that this weekend. And besides that, I'd spent today watching old films on the Amityville Horror.
Well, there you go. Those are always classic. I love watching those.
Well, what's happening with the Haunting in Connecticut movie is just so nostalgic of the Amityville Horror for me, because now people are driving past the house. They want to see the house. Groups are contacting them. They want to investigate. And these folks haven't had any problems. They don't want anybody in there.
Right, I actually had that story that came out last week, and I don't have it in front of me, but they were talking about the homeowners of the actual house that's the used to be Carmen's house, the one featured in The Haunting in Connecticut. People won't leave him alone. They're driving by, and people are like, hey, you know, let us be. There's nothing here. So, yeah, it's almost the exact same thing as the Amityville Horror case. Those people said that there's nothing there in that house either, and that's what leads me to believe, I think, there's more haunted people than haunted places.
Yeah, it's very possible. I mean, nobody sent us a tip for the week, but maybe that's what we should talk about this week, Sean, is talking about haunted people versus haunted places. I mean, let's face it, if you're into demonology and things like that, the Catholic Church does not go in and exorcise homes.
Uh-huh.
They only exorcise people.
Right.
So, I mean, right there, that tells you something about that mentality of it. That,
sure.
You know, there are, in their mind at least, there aren't demonic places.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I think you're right. I think you're right. That's what I was just saying about after all the time, you know, we've been in the field, the time I've spent, the time you spent, I just see more haunted places or haunted people than haunted places, because it seems like a lot of the cases, things will follow those people. Only when those people are present will the activity happen. I mean, you know, I've seen that much, much more than just a traditionally haunted location. So what are you going to do, man?
It really counts to do background on people because of that. And people ask me a lot, how do you do background? And it's sleuthing. I mean, go out and get some Nancy Drew books and learn how to do it.
And for God's sakes, guys, leave the poor people in Connecticut alone with that house. I know you're interested. They're going to have to get over people driving by. That's just tough luck.
People still drive by.
Public street. Yeah, but if you're going in the yards and taking pictures through the windows and stuff, leave these people alone. For God's sakes, man. Yeah, it's crazy. It's the same thing with the Amityville, you know. But these homes, I think, that have been legend from movies and stuff, they should be made into museums or something like that. They shouldn't be allowed to be purchased by a single family. You know what I mean?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it wouldn't be very fair to the people who own the property not to be able to sell it.
Well, it'd be real fair if the state came down or whoever and paid them, you know, 20 times more than what the house is worth. So...
Which government are you thinking of?
Well, this one, it's all, you know, everything's getting better. But anyway, this is, speaking of exorcisms and people being exorcised, did you hear about the ShamWow guy? Everybody knows and loves him, the ShamWow guy? You know, the commercials late night?
I did hear about it, Sean, but I heard about it from you. So why don't you tell the folks what's going on?
It's not paranormal, but, you know, us night shifters, man, you hear the late night commercials all the time. ShamWow's one of them. And apparently this cat, Vince Schlomi, he's the TV pitch man for ShamWow. He battered a hooker last week in South Beach in a hotel room brawl. And he's actually been dropped from ShamWow in the chop shop, the gear that he was doing on the TV show. They've actually dropped him, and he is out of jail now. But he did spend some time there, and apparently him and the hooker are doing just fine now. Except ShamWow's looking for a new spokesperson.
But you know, you got to wonder there, Sean. Was he sitting there going, say ShamWow. I said ShamWow. ShamWow. Come on, say it. You know, and,
She bit his tongue. Apparently, he told police that she had bit his tongue, and she wouldn't let go. And then it came into, it became a big bloody fist fight, and they went around the room, and the police showed up, and they both went to jail. So
did she say a demon made her do it?
I don't know, but that is definitely the ShamWow guy. He looks possessed in his mugshot. I was looking at it the other day. She really did a number on him. You can see blood on his mouth and stuff. It's crazy, man. ShamWow. You gotta love ShamWow.
So now, folks, if you were sitting around watching late night TV and you'd seen the ShamWow commercial, mm-hmm. and you kept saying to yourself, I really want that, but I'll wait to order it till the next time I see the commercial, probably not gonna see it now. You blew your chance.
You know what? That's the funniest thing. I haven't seen it now. It used to be every night, and it's just disappeared.
And just before this happened, he got a new commercial, and I wonder if he lost that too.
I don't know. Yeah, it was that chopper. The chopper. Yeah. He's like, you're gonna love my nuts. Remember, he'd chop them up in the little nuts and.
I saw that, and all I could think of was the old Saturday Night Live commercial where he would talk about. You know, people, and they did it on South Park, too, the salty chocolate balls.
Yeah, yeah. Sweaty
balls, that was it, sweaty balls.
Classic entertainment. Anyway, hey, Nathan, you want to see dead people, do you?
I want to see dead people.
Well, if you want to see dead people, guys, drink a cup of Joe. That's right. Folks who drink a lot of coffee are more prone to hear voices, see dead people, and have other kinds of hallucinations. than those who steer clear of caffeine. A new study has discovered psychologist Simon Jones and his colleagues at Durham University in England examined 200 students and found that heavy caffeine consumers, 7 cups of coffee or more a day, were 3 times more likely to have extrasensory experiences than others. Caffeine induces the brain to produce a hormone called cortisol, which has been linked to hallucinations. So there you go, guys. Before you go on your big drink up.
Have any coffee tonight, Sean?
No, I had no coffee tonight. You know, I'm not a big coffee guy. I'm you know that. I'm a big barley guy.
it's cortisol that that it produces. But I was asking about the coffee because you read us that news story like 2 weeks ago.
What did I read you?
That news story about the coffee.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No way. That's a brand new one. Brand new.
Is it brand new?
It's brand new, dude.
Do you mean I actually read something in the news and confused it? I didn't think I read the news.
Yeah, this is a brand new one. Just came out of the magazine today while I was looking through them. So there's no way I could have read that to you. But they found another thing that I got. And I know I probably didn't read this to you guys before, but this is out of Indianapolis. My old stomping town. It's TV Ghost, Demon Hunter. It's a story I thought was interesting.
Okay.
It says, back in the early days of television, people often reported ghosts. These were just a result of crude engineering and signal interference, but some people claim they had real ghosts on their TV sets. This happened a lot back in the old days, I guess. In 1954, the Mackey family of Indianapolis was alarmed to see the image of Mrs. Mackey's dead grandfather after 2 days. Mrs. Mackey felt she was going crazy, so she took the set along to the local police station. Word got around, and apparently as many as 500 people turned up at the station and also saw the image of Mrs. Mackey's grandfather before he disappeared back into the ether. Now, the thing about that is Mrs. Mackey said that she recognized it was her grandfather because she recognized his suit on the television show, and 500 people did witness this at the apparently Indianapolis police station back in the 1950s or whatever. So it was one of the first documented cases of ITC at its finest, I guess.
Yeah, but you gotta wonder, did her grandfather wear the same kind of suits as like they did in the old John Wayne films?
I don't know. You know, if you check out the ITC, you'll see a lot of...
She's like, my grandfather used to look just like Jimmy Stewart. And look, there he is, right on the TV.
I don't know. It stayed the same for 5 days, and, you know, all those people seen it. So there's something they documented. They thought it was weird enough to put it in there, so I thought it was weird enough to read on our show.
Now, you know, if that had happened today, Sean, that TV would be available on eBay.
Just like the haunted paintings and stuff, huh? You know, I always thought that painting that was on eBay, guys, I forget the name of it now, Hands That Resist Us or something like that. It's Hands something. It was a little boy. If you ever seen the haunted painting on eBay, it was a little boy with hands in the back of him. All you see was like handprints. Very dark painting, very mysterious. And it had like a little doll, little girl sitting next to him in this picture. And I always wanted a copy of that, Demon Hunter. So just a couple weeks ago, I was surfing around. I looked up, and you guys can do this too. Google the eBay haunted painting, and it automatically comes up with 1,000 different things because people couldn't believe everybody was bidding on this. But they did, and there's a guy making prints of it right now for like $1,200 to $1,200 a piece for these prints. Yeah, just amazing.
I seem to remember my favorite haunted eBay item was a haunted teddy bear. And I can't say that this was a scam, because who knows, but they warned people that the haunted teddy bear kept trying to return to them. So if they shipped it off to you and all you got was an empty box, then it was because the teddy bear had escaped and tried to get home.
I got to keep that. I like that. I like that. There was actually an old haunted funeral home here in Kokomo, Indiana. And apparently they were selling these bears and dolls. It might be what you're talking about. They were selling them online. And it was just like, wow, these people are selling it. But apparently they would burn or cremate these bodies. And when they were brought in, whatever was with them, they just threw in a big room. So they had dollies and old wallets and stuff like that. And they were selling all this stuff on eBay, claiming it was haunted because it was from a haunted mortuary in Kokomo, Indiana. So I never bought anything there. But what are you going to do?
It's kind of like I told you for a while I did some work working in a crematorium.
Yeah.
And my job was to crawl inside the crematory, the ovens and patch up any cracks in the walls. And you'd crawl through there, and when I tell people this, they'd all be sitting there going, "Oh my, oh, that's terrible. How could you do that?" And I'm like, "Well, it wasn't as bad as the guy who had to sweep it out."
Yeah, I couldn't imagine doing anything like that, man, inside the old mortuary in the crematorium.
Well, they'd shut them down for a day, so they'd cool down a little when we were working on them, but then they'd still be hot when you
Right.
got in. So, I mean, those things burn really, really hot, and no smoke escapes from them because they have burners to burn the smoke until all it does is blow out heat when it's done. So, you know, it's one of those things. I've often wondered, you know, if I brought how many people I brought home on my shoes.
Bits and pieces of all kinds of people, I'm sure, man. But hey, you like witches? Does everybody like witches out there? Because it's the occult hit, apparently, right now. Witches bucking religion trend. The story reads, "They don't toil over bubbling cauldron or cook lost kids that we know of. They have no use for flying monkeys, and their space racks are more apt to contain ginger or paprika than Eye of Newt. Still, witches are far from fictional." And according to the most recent American Religious Identification Survey released earlier this month, there are more of them than ever. While most other major religions lost ground, Wiccan, whose members Wiccans, sometimes referred to themselves as witches, and also other so-called new religious movements, grew by more than a million members since the last ARIS survey was published in 2001. There are now an estimated 1.2% of the adult population is believed to be witches. In Chicago, home to an unknown number of Wiccan covens, the independent practitioners, there are even a witch school, an outgrowth of national popular and long-active website witchschool.com. That's witchschool.com. To downstate Roseville-based organization currently offers 3 monthly courses on witchcraft, guys. So there you go. You know, we had a witch on the show last week. They got radio shows on it, Demon Hunter. But apparently, the rest of the world is amazed at the amount of witches that are out there. There's even, like I said, there's even night classes or day classes you can take at witchschool.com to become a better witch.
Well, you know, it's funny. I told you for a while I rented a house from a witch. And she was a very well-known witch. She was in the area. You know, people wouldn't even come to her house on Halloween. She told me she had not received a trick-or-treater at her house for like the 7 years she had lived there. So when I moved in, I thought, well, the best way to get over this would be to really exploit the fact that it was a actual witch's house on Halloween. So I went out and put a bubbling cauldron out on the front lawn. Surrounded it with every kind of pagan piece of decor I could find in the house, because I rented the place furnished, and then just sat on the lawn in a long black cloak, and people would just I ran out of candy in the first hour. I had to send somebody to buy more candy. They all
See?
wanted to go to the witch's house once they saw it there. But you know, she hadn't gotten people because they were afraid of her.
Well, absolutely. They're afraid Hansel and Gretel, man. Witches eat kids. Remember, that was the story that was brought up there. But apparently, witches are everywhere. They're more powerful than ever now. Isn't that funny? Back in the Salem witch trials, it used to be it was very they had to hide in the back rooms and stuff. And now it's made the daily news where they come out and say that the estimated. I can't believe that they think that the most people are the majority of the population are witches now. I mean, a lot of all the religions, Mormons, Pentecostal, Baptist, and witches. So now it's, you know, now you got that to deal with. But I got one more good story, guys. I was searching really hard for you this week to find something good, and I came across it. at the Star online newspaper, of course, to five men seeking a ghost wife, ghost's wife and son. Kuala Lumpur, five men have taken out advertisements in three Chinese dailies seeking a dead man's wife and son. They claim the ghost of the dead man wanted the wife and son found. In their quest, the five also turned to Dethu Michael Chong, often called on to help in cases involving violent missing spouses, internet scams, and vengeful partners to help them with their supernatural problem. At a press conference called by the MCA Public Services and Complaints Department head, the five men said their problems began when they visited Cambodia earlier this month, where the haunting started. They had checked into a haunted hotel room. Tiao Hsun Chun, 36, I'm doing the best I can, man, with these names. Factory workers said two of the five then made crass jokes about the ghost in their hotel room. One of the men, Tao, claimed that he was possessed twice. When he gained consciousness, he spoke in a woman's voice and started to sob loudly, said Ding, adding that the ghost was begging for forgiveness in Hokkien. The second time Tao was possessed, a male spirit said it would stop disturbing them only if they could locate its son, Chu Kon Lao, 38, and wife Chong Sim Chun. As says, the five have already published notices seeking the wife and son in three local Chinese dailies, but there has been no response. Those of you who have information about this, guys, you can contract Tao at 019-575-8288. That's 019-575-8288. I believe that's in Cambodia.
So you have to find the international exchange for that one.
Yeah, but they said the ghosts won't leave them alone. They're looking for Chu and Sim. That's the mother and son that the ghost has been possessing this guy over and over again, and he won't stop until they find the lost child and wife. So there you go, from the haunted vault.
I'm just afraid, Sean, that you're going to get haunted now from the pronunciations of those names.
Yeah, I know. Chu Long Chow. I'm sorry, guys. I tried.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I'm sitting back. I'm lighting up my cigar for the week from Butthead's Tobacco Emporium in Danbury, Connecticut. Butthead's. I'm smoking my Rocky Patel Connecticut 99, my old classic favorite here, and but I was looking up to find our international listener of the week, Sean.
Okay.
And it comes from Saint, and I hope I'm saying this right, Saint Estelle in the UK.
Saint Estelle.
That was our big international listener of the week. They logged on the most times, listened to the most of our shows. So thanks to the folks in Saint Estelle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't believe I'm tired. I realized I'm getting older, Sean, because I went out and I played a little golf today.
All right, yeah.
And I'm tired from playing golf.
It happens, man. It happens. We are getting older. It happens.
It's just not fair. Sunday was the only day I had to do these things, and now I'm not going to get to do it.
Right.
But,
I feel hammered, man. I took the kids this weekend to the zoo and everything, and my legs are still burning. I'm just, I'm a mess this weekend. I've been so tired. So, but we're rocking, we're rolling, we're smoking through it, and we're keeping it live. Keeping it live, man.
Thanks also to our friends Ghost Chaser. I hope I'm saying this one right. Sir Gareth, Jerry and Becky Ray in the chat rooms. And, hey, bro, any good April Fool's jokes on you this year?
Well, I didn't get any except, like I told you over the phone, my mom had called, and, we all know Ghostman's past, divorcee, whatever. And I had a house, with that person, and I ended up having to pay quite a large sum just to get out of the house, when you go to sell it. And my mother had called me and said that a letter came through. This has been, 4 years ago. A letter come through and said I owed like $700. It wasn't very happy Fool's Day, but it was definitely a foolish day on her part, because I was like, are you kidding me? You got to be. I went nuts, and she said, April Fool's. So she got me.
And you got by your mom. I mean, how great is that?
I know. My good old mom. She's keeping it real, man. I tell you.
Oh, man.
Did you have any good ones? Anything happen?
I didn't have any done personally on myself, but the paranormal community had one played on them with, well, the only one I got snagged on was, because I wasn't looking at it, was on, we have Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, or Ghost and Demon at gmail.com. The words will get out there eventually. Ghostanddemon@gmail.com. And Gmail had a little thing up saying, you'll no longer have to reply to people once you install Gmail's automatic reply. Set whether it's a loved one, your wife or girlfriend or this or that, and Gmail will design an automatic reply to go to. And I was sitting there thinking, this is great, because I never have time to reply. But then the paranormal community kind of got snagged by the Ghost Divas, who stated that they had gotten a television show.
Oh, yeah?
And people were logging in to check for that, to see what show they were getting. And of course, they waited till the last 2 minutes of their show to say it was an April Fool's joke. And so they got me on that one. But
Those wild and crazy chicks, man,
they
I tell you.
are, you know.
I love Tanya Kaiser. She's good people. I love her to death.
Well, it was the fact that she had said it, and you know, Tanya is with Aspiro Productions. So I was thinking, oh, Aspiro's gonna do this, and but she got me. She got me.
She got you good, man. What are you gonna do?
Everybody knows that nobody in radio, internet radio, gets a TV show. It just doesn't happen. So, but you want to take a quick break, man? When we come back, we'll have our guest for this evening.
Okay, let's take a break. And when we do come back, we will have our guest. And you know what? I've lost my note. So I told you I was off, man. We have our guest. I got it right in front of me, Melissa Martinellis, author of the Everything Ghost Hunting Guides. So don't go to sleep. You don't want to miss this. Good stuff.
If we stay awake, you have to. So
Yes.
we'll be right back after this, folks.
I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal, ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 AM. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
Para X Radio and you.
This is Johnny. Johnny is going to use his computer to contact the spirits. His sister Jenny is very curious and watches. Johnny just typed in www.para-x.com and is now communicating with the dead. You go, Johnny. Jenny is excited because now she can listen to shows like Night Watch with Todd Sheets, CAPS Paranormal Radio with David and Tom, Paranormal Awareness with Bill Metz, Ghostology with Brian and Anna Marie, Leinster Paranormal Radio Show with Danny and Cormac, and the Ghost Divas Live. One day, the world will be a better place when we can all be like Johnny and Jenny and tune into Para X Radio at www.para-x.com. All paranormal, all the time.
Are you looking for your favorite paranormal podcast? Well, come and visit us at planetparanormal.com. We are your guide to the other side. Come and check out our hub to see all our latest podcasts from your favorite paranormal celebrities. And don't forget to check out our news feeds to see what's late great in the paranormal community, as well as events coming to a town near you. Come visit us on the web at www.planetparanormal.com. That's www.planetparanormal.com.
This is Mark Nesbitt from the Ghosts of Gettysburg and the Ghosts of Fredericksburg. You're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
We're back.
Whoa. We are back. That's right. And what a weekend we were talking about, man. What a great weekend we've had. And is it raining there in Connecticut?
Because it's not raining. We had our first nice night after a long time. So when you told me you were going through all the rain you're going through, I was really, really worried that it would hit us too. So, folks, if the show goes out, it's because a tornado hit Sean Burris.
So. Yeah, it's because I got carried away. It twisted. But that's what happened. But hey, man, we got tonight's guest in the house. She's red hot. She's ready to do the work with us. Tell us all about it. Melissa Martin Ellis.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Great.
Melissa, how are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
You know, as you came onto the phone there, I think you got to say hello to our buddy Jason Gowan, who is also on the phone.
Oh, hello, okay, the connection was really bad. Hi, Jason.
How are you?
Great, thank you. Thank you. I have been trying to get on the internet. My internet connection is down, so I didn't hear the first part of your show.
Oh, no, well...
I know, it's dreadful.
Most people
sure that's the first show ever that you've missed, Melissa Bars.
It is, actually. Yeah. How did you know?
I know. I'm psychic. I can feel it in my bones.
Yeah.
That's okay. Melissa. You're not the first person who logged in and didn't listen to us, so it's okay.
That's hard to believe. Well, I want to thank you guys so much for having me on. That's very nice of you.
Absolutely, and I want to thank you, Melissa. We want to thank you for coming on the show on a Sunday night, and you are the author of Everything Ghost Hunting.
Yeah, the Everything Ghost Hunting book from Adams Media.
Was this your first book?
No, actually, I co-wrote The Everything Guide to Graphic Novels with my husband, Mark.
Okay.
And I also have a book out called The Everything Guide to Photography, that just came out this month.
Now, you're just writing books about everything.
I am.
Does somebody have a TV on in the background? Because I'm hearing a TV.
That's me.
Gowan!
Wow, you want to see the Lone Ranger?
Not WrestleMania.
There you go. But Melissa, anyway, I'm going to just go nuts on you tonight because you got the Everything Ghost Hunting, and there's so much about ghost hunting, and people just don't know the different things, and we get so caught up with EVP and EMF and all this, they forget the different realms of ghost hunting, different types of approaches to the subject, different types of techniques to use out in the field. And the first thing I want to ask you is, why ghost hunting, Melissa?
Well, I've always had an interest in the paranormal. Mm-hmm. As a child, there was a poltergeist in our house, and that, you know, that'll get your attention pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So I've had an ongoing sort of relationship with supernatural things and paranormal things, and I was an anthro major, and was very interested to hear that, you know, belief in the supernatural is universal.
Yes.
So I've had a few personal experiences myself, and also I just had amassed a lot of information over the years about it.
Well, right. So it was almost like your calling. I mean, you fell right into it, coming from your home where you had poltergeist activity and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just something I've always been very, very interested in, but it wasn't till the last couple of years that I even thought of writing a book about it. Mm-hmm. And I'd already written a couple of books for Adams Media and pitched the idea to them, and imagine my surprise when they said, yeah, that sounds like a go. I was very pleased. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, interesting story about the Everything Ghost Hunting book, Sean. Melissa had to find somebody to talk to about malevolent hauntings and demonology, and she had a long list of the big names in it, and she had to call them on like a 4th of July, so she was going down the list, and nobody was home, and she was calling through the list. So when she finally got to the end of the list, my name was there, and I hadn't been invited to any parties, so I wound up being interviewed for that part of the book.
Oh, well, poor Nathan. Yeah. No, actually, he was my first choice, absolutely, hands down, first choice.
Well, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah.
And you, when the book first comes out, how long's it been out, first off?
It's not out yet. It's not going to be released until July. Probably you'll be able to pre-order it on Amazon.com in June. But, July 1st is the release date.
Now, Melissa, are you a ghost hunter?
You know, I've been on ghost hunts, and I would not say that... I would say I'm an amateur ghost hunter. Well, obviously not a professional.
Good for you, because, you know, most people, once they've gone on one ghost hunt or bought themselves a digital camera and a digital voice recorder, would immediately call themselves a ghost hunter. So good for you for putting that
definition
out.
I'm a little more
out.
Modest than that.
That's how I did it, actually. First, you know, guys were telling me they were going out ghost hunting. I went out and started taking pictures, and I said, well, I guess I'm a ghost hunter. And then I started going on investigations and found out that I didn't know half as much as I thought I did, you know?
And then you wound up on proof positive, Sean. And
yeah, I did. Yeah, got my big break
and,
on proof positive.
Proof positive. And you were proof negative.
I was proof negative. I said that was terrible. Do you remember that show, Melissa?
On the sci-fi?
No. It was proof positive, and it was, you know, they would do scientific diagnostic research and stuff on a subject, and they would prove it either proof positive or proof negative. And of course, they had a big picture of me, and I'm saying, yes, I think this establishment has a haunting, you know, some type of activity. And then it did right across my face, proof negative, boom.
How did I miss that? That's fascinating.
It was great. It should have stumped
me
for life.
Can I see it on YouTube?
You can, actually. You can. You can Google.
Really?
You just put in the proof positive Willard Library, Indiana.
Willard Library? Okay.
W-I-L-L-A-R-D. Oh, it's great. You'll get a kick out. My credibility went right
down. Hey, I can't go there. My internet's down.
Right.
But as soon as it's up, I'll be checking that out.
Well, that's okay. We didn't want you to do it during the show anyway.
Now,
yeah, it's probably better to wait.
What do you start out with in your book, without giving us too much? Do you address equipment?
I do. I touch on it briefly, you know, because I don't think that really people just getting started should really invest too much money in equipment, but I do believe, you know, that the information should be there if they decide that it's for them. There's, you know, information about paranormal gear and, you know, video and still photography, audio voice recorders, thermometers, infrared cameras, motion sensors, EMF and ELF meters. And I even go into holy water metals and, you know, the sort of supernatural gear that you need as well.
Oh, wow. Wow, so you cover religious aspect, too.
I am thorough, yes.
There you go. You got it all.
Well, I remember when you and I had our talk, I talked about respecting other people's beliefs and theories and not going and thinking you knew everything that was going on.
Right, exactly. That's just a prerequisite. You have to have an open mind, and you have to be respectful.
It's amazing that we're dealing with something that's so unknown, and people go into it believing that they know everything that's going on.
Yeah, I think that's a real no-no to bring your own belief system to the investigation.
Yeah.
And we see a lot of that, don't we? I mean...
Yeah, we do. Unfortunately, we see a lot of that. A lot of the newcomers come in, and they have an open mind to it, and the old salty dogs, the one that have been doing this for a while, they kind of step in there, and they want you to believe the way they believe because they think they know... Mm-hmm. And it's really hurting the whole paranormal community as a whole. It's stopping it from it's not allowing it to grow any further. These people that are brains are fried. They've been doing this for so long. They actually think they have all the answers, and you know it's just not it. It's just not.
I think
the way
it undermines credibility to a great extent. You know, if people have an axe to grind or you know a dog in the hunt, they just need to step back and be objective.
And it does also that whole aspect, too, of people going into these and the people who have been doing it for a long time say, never do this and don't do that and you shouldn't do this. And, you know, by the time if they if they listen to everyone with the things that they're not supposed to do, there's nothing left to do.
I know.
So it's
you're so right. And it's very confusing.
Right.
That's why I think something like a book like this that just sort of lays out the guidelines and says, you know, I'm offering this, take it or leave it, basically. But I basically say to people, you need to really be grounded in the paranormal and do your research before you get into this too far.
Well, we were just...
You just really have to know what you're doing.
We were just talking about that before we started the show, the part you didn't get to hear.
Right.
About how people who get involved with this don't do enough background on the people involved.
Mm-hmm.
They go in and they start investigating the location, and they don't investigate the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, when we talked, I told you, that's the main thing I do, is go in and investigate the people.
Right. Well, that's what it's about, isn't it? You're really there to help the people. And it's not to prove that a place is haunted, it's to, you know, sort of give some relief to people who are in a bad situation.
Right, absolutely. Now, can you tell us a little bit, when you were growing up, Melissa, about what type of activity that was in your house? How was that living with Paranormal Activity? A lot of people don't grow up that way.
It was not for a terribly long period of time. It was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and it was in an old house. And it just it started with me seeing things out of the corner of my eye. I thought somebody was walking through the room, and I turned and nobody was there. It was just, you know, sort of a peripheral impression of somebody walking by, and then other people started to see it too. It
right.
looked like a woman had walked by quickly, and you were just seeing, it was in the days when women actually wore skirts, and you'd see like the tail end of a skirt flick around the corner.
Oh, wow.
And then other people started to see it too and comment on it, and then things started to disappear and reappear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it all began to add up after a while as to being supernatural, but at first we weren't even thinking anything too weird was going on.
And let me guess, your parents, they probably didn't believe it at first, right? It was...
Yeah, they totally ignored it until the fire broke out. And, you know,
that tends
sort of
to catch people's attention.
Pardon?
That tends to catch people's attention when a fire breaks out.
Yes, indeed. Well, it happened several times, and... when I grew up and started reading about poltergeist activity, you know, all these things are mentioned. Fires are mentioned quite frequently as spontaneously breaking out. But they usually don't cause much damage, and it was, that was the case in this instance also. It was just little fires would break out, and somebody'd notice it and put it out. But it was just, it was very weird. And the weirdest thing to me was that my parents were in such denial about it.
Oh, yeah. You know, I grew up something similar to what you have. We grew up in an old farmhouse here on the outside of Indianapolis, in Indiana, of course. And we upstairs at night, you could hear people whisper. I would hear the footsteps come down the stairs and the whisper in the hallway. And my dad, my dad was big-time Baptist guy, and he just kept saying, oh, you guys are crazy, you guys are crazy. But finally, he broke down and had a preacher come through and bless the house, you know, so... yeah, even the big man had to break down on that one. So, you know, I got to tell you, were you scared a little bit growing up? Because I had problems getting to sleep at night.
Yeah, I was a little anxious, I've got to tell you. And then when I was about 20 and got married, I moved into an old house in Tampa, Florida. And I was there alone most of the day, and I would hear such strange things going on. Doors would open and close, and I'd hear footsteps, and it really was creepy. It was really creepy. And then when my daughter was born and I'd be up in the middle of the night with her, I would actually hear voices whispering and the sound of laughter outside the window. And I mean, this would happen night after night. Really unsettling. I ended up moving out of the house when she was like 2 months old.
Wow. Now, did you, Everything Ghost Hunting, of course we're talking to Melissa Martin Ellis, author of the Everything Ghost Hunting book, and I wanted to ask you, Everything Ghost Hunting, what about EVP, Electronic Voice Phenomena? Do you touch base on that? And
I do,
Okay.
I talk about, you know, the history of EVP as I, you know, try to ground everybody sort of in the background of things and then launch from there. You know, they were... sort of discovered by Swedish bird watcher Fredrik Jorgensen in the 50s.
Thank you. We were just trying to figure out that name last week.
That was it. Nathan, I told Nathan the first one to hear EVP was Alva Edison, Thomas Edison, and which was very untrue. Very much. I retract that statement. But
he had a quote about it, actually. He said that he believed that if his device could be fine-tuned sufficiently, you would be able to pick up voices from another realm, or, you know, some such quote. But yeah, Jurgensen was the first one to capture clear EVPs while he was bird watching, and you know, subsequently wrote a book about it.
Right.
And I forget what the name of that was. I can probably find it in my file here. But
and that was the voice of a little girl. I do remember that.
Yeah, and yeah. He was just like flabbergasted by it, and had no intention when he was doing the recording of, you know, anything of the sort happening.
But now, did you have some?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Melissa.
I was going to say, from that point on, of course, you know, it has evolved and evolved, and now we have digital voice recorders that, you know, are picking up stuff. Everybody can very easily do EVP work on their own, and I talk about doing that in the book as well.
Right. You know, it's a funny thing about EVP. I love electronic voice phenomena. That's what's kept me in the field this long, mm-hmm. and I love everything about it. It's probably because it's instant gratification for me, and you can't disprove it at this
right.
point, especially when you're the one taking it. You know the setting. If people listen to it, they got to be able to believe you to think that it was a ghost or whatever. But that's the thing. I see a lot of these groups out here now, and a lot of college kids, it seems like you're starting these spoof investigations, like, you know, the paranormals, to discredit the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
They're starting these organizations. And they're not trying to tackle EVP. They'll touch everything else, EMF readings, Geiger readings, everything that you use in the ghost hunting arsenal. They'll tackle those and tell you what it could be instead of a ghost, but they've never touched EVP. They've just said, you know, people say, ah, well, it could have been your imagination. You're just trying to find out what's it. Because, you know, you can. If you got an EVP that's a Class A that's that clear, how do you explain it?
Oh, they're fascinating. They're fascinating, and to me, that's the richest field practically to be mined, you know, in the paranormal, because some of them are just so phenomenally clear and good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of interested in, you know, in watching Ghost Hunters International, how they're capturing EVPs of entities that have accents, you know, that are even speaking in, like, you know, ancient German.
Very
interesting. Archaic forms of French or whatever. It's fascinating.
Well, Gowan
and some of
them
are so clear.
Gowan and I actually went to a place that was known to get German EVPs, and we kept asking it if it heard us to say something, and finally we heard Hörlen, which in German is to hear, and because we kept saying we couldn't hear it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, just before we left, we caught a German EVP.
Wow.
And that was in the Church of the Damned, I think, Gowan, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the same place that our buddy Gowan got picked up and thrown against a wall.
Oh, my God.
And not the most friendly places.
You know,
not filled with sunshine and puppies.
Well, one of the first investigators that I talked to was Andrew Laird with the Rhode Island Paranormal Group, Trip RG,
mm-hmm.
and he was telling me his very first experience with anything in the paranormal was a friend, you know, dared him to go to a penitentiary, an old closed down penitentiary, with him, and he had a very bad experience there where they were both attacked by an entity, and he's a big guy, you know, he is a very big guy, and something kicked him up and slammed him into a wall.
Well, Jason Gowan, he's not a tiny guy. He's cute as a button, but he's not tiny. And it picked him up about six feet in the air and slammed him against a wall.
Wow. Did you
yeah,
get
not
that
one
on
of
tape?
My days. What's that?
Did you get any pictures of that?
No. It was me and my partner, and I kind of, when it happened, I kind of, like, went into shock after. So from the time I hit the wall to the time I got back to the car, I don't really recall a lot of it, but my roommate, he told me that I was above his head, and he's like 6'3", so, and I'm a little on the heavy side and short, so jumping backwards and high is not really my forte.
He can't dunk, in other words. He can't dunk.
Yep.
So.
And I'm nowhere Jordan.
Was there any indication before this happened that you were annoying something?
Jason
there
annoys
was,
everyone.
There was a lot of indication
uh-huh.
that I had been annoying it, but I ignored it.
Yeah.
And I just kept running my mouth, and finally it had enough.
Were you provoking?
Oh, yeah. Hardcore. Oh,
okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I told it Jesus could kick his ass, actually.
Oh, so this was a demonic entity that you were talking to?
You know, I'm not sure about that because it's a church, mm-hmm. and I honestly, the more time I spent studying it, the more I think it might have been like a former, like, preacher or priest from the place
mm-hmm.
that didn't like the way I was behaving in his place of worship
mm-hmm.
than anything.
Yeah.
I don't see any indication where it was demonic, really.
Wow.
And I know
that's so interesting.
I know Sean and I have often talked about the fact that, you know, people say that if it lifts over a certain amount of weight, it's got to be demonic. And I don't always agree with that.
Really?
And I know Sean doesn't either, because it's...
Mm-hmm.
It
just seems too arbitrary?
Yeah, it does. You know, it's... I think if you give something enough oomph,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's kind of like a human being who sees a tractor fall on someone can lift up that tractor when their adrenaline
mm-hmm.
starts getting pumping. How do we know there's not something in the other world, too, that allows somebody the same ability?
Right. Yeah, we really don't know the parameters and the rules yet about this whole phenomena. You know, it's just, to me, it's in its infancy, even though people have been doing paranormal investigations for a couple of thousand years. I think we're just getting to the point where we can bring the technology to bear, and that's going to be really interesting.
I think Sean's house might have gotten struck by lightning in this storm that they're having.
Oh, no!
Because he fell off the air. And,
oh, my God.
Let me see really fast if I can get
okay.
him on here, because it says he's not on the internet right now. But... I understand they have tornado watches right now. Where he
oh, no.
is. So
and where is he?
He's in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oh
so,
my, okay.
We might not get Sean back for a while, but I'll keep my eye on it
okay.
To see if
the person whom you're nope. trying to reach is currently unavailable.
No, Sean is in Oz right now.
Okay.
So.
That's a good place to be, yeah.
Yeah, why not? But,
yeah.
Now, you said you had a poltergeist as a child, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, did you look into poltergeists while you were writing this book?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I did a lot of research. When I was writing this book, I interviewed tons of people, and I reread, you know, just about every book on the paranormal in my library. I read a book, I don't know if you're familiar with the British author Colin Wilson. He had written a book on poltergeists a few years ago, which is just a fascinating read. And he's just like generally considered to be, you know, very credible, very intelligent. And he comes to the conclusion that they're real. And actually, he started out as a skeptic. So I'd recommend that book for sure to anyone who's interested in the phenomena. Because he talks about a lot of very well-documented famous cases in Britain and, you know, cites all sorts of witnesses and so forth. And, you know, he just started out a complete skeptic and by the end of the book just acknowledges that there's definitely something going on.
Oy. The
yeah.
Now, a lot of people say that poltergeists are activity caused by adolescents in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Were you an adolescent? Were there adolescents in the house?
I was 12, yeah. And my sister was 16, so
and
there were two adolescents in the house.
On your research, did you find anything to kind of lead you to believe that that could have been it, or did you think it was a ghost?
Well, I kept an open mind about it while I was doing my research, but the conclusion that Colin Wilson comes to is that it's sort of a juxtaposition of people who have high energy fields, which a lot of adolescents have, and then there's sort of a rupture in the field that's holding the energy in because there's so much of it, and that entities sort of take advantage of that. You know, if there's anything in the area, they're attracted to this energy field, and they'll come and just wreak havoc, you know, using that energy to move objects and to, you know, do mischievous sort of things.
And do you do you think that you got to take classes with TAPS?
I
didn't even know they gave classes. So
I'm sorry?
I didn't even know they gave classes. So
well, they sort of do a presentation where they talk about the procedures and, you know, relate anecdotes and, you know, answer questions. So it's more like a sort of workshop thing. But yeah, they do give classes also. I just had Kristen Gartland when I went up there and did it, and it was not that good an experience, I have to say. It was, you know, rather flat and uninteresting, so.
Oh, like a nice sitting with me. I see how it is. It's Now, this book's coming out. It's really aimed for people who are just getting into ghost hunting.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. But you've got a lot of stuff in there that people who have been doing it for a while may want to look at so that they can refresh or even get a new look at things.
Yeah, exactly. I try to give a little background information, and I've also sort of tried to extrapolate where the whole field may be going, you know, in the future. So I think there's something there for, you know, people who are brand new to it, but also people who are a little bit, you know, better read and have done it a bit. So, you know, it's suitable for anybody, really.
And you got all this done in such a short amount of time. Did you learn anything new? Was there new stuff coming out that people might not have heard about before?
Well, I'm trying to think with the new technology that's coming out. There was a little bit about new work being done with something called a ghost phone, and done in Europe. And I was really interested to see where that's going to go, because rather than, you know, the EVP work where you can't hear what the response is until later and you play it back, the ghost phone is like a real time sort of device that you can get the feedback immediately, and it's audible as you're asking the questions. You get a response, and I think it searches through radio signals, and the theory being that the entities can grab the appropriate, you know, consonants and vowels and pull them out and you know, sort of produce a sentence from it.
Well,
have you heard about this?
I've got the paranormal puck.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also can be used in the obelisk, which is similar with using EMF readings to allow spirits to pull out words from using EMF fields.
Wow.
And
that sounds interesting.
It's a new product that just came out this last year, and people can find out about it at digitaldowsing.com. But I've pulled it out a few times, and even though it's picking up EMF fields, the areas that I use it in, it picks up words that I can't believe it's getting these words. Like, I was in a room and we were trying to figure out what this bad smell was, and it kept saying bird, 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 and we found a dead bird in the room.
Oh, my God.
I was in another room where it kept saying carrot, 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 and we found a giant plastic carrot in the room. You know, it's like, where is it getting these things?
Yeah.
And
it's
simply using EMF fields, and it's an incredible piece of equipment. How well you could actually use it, I'm not sure, because do you count the words it says over and over again? Because maybe that's just a reoccurring natural EMF field.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you pick a word that it says at random that might just be an EMF spike? So you never know.
Well, I guess if you use it enough, you could sort of get an idea.
I'm trying to get a feel for it, bringing it back to the same place, you know.
And what is it called again?
It's called the Ovelisk and the Paranormal Puck, and you can find out about it at digitaldowsing.com.
Okay.
And
I'll have to check that out.
Great. It's definitely very interesting. Now, you're also going to be doing some talks on ghost hunting?
I'm sorry? Actually going to be doing classes for the Learning Connection, where I take people and explain the whole concept behind ghost hunting, you know, sort of touch on the equipment involved, EVPs, the photography, and then take them on a sort of field trip down to Newport Common Burying Ground. Has just some great phenomena that's been captured there. So we'll go on a field trip there, and that's coming up in April.
And where can people find out about how to be a part of that?
Rhode Island Learning Connection.com.
And your website is?
Is www.mellissart.com.
So it's melissaart.com. And,
well, there's no A in it. It's two L's, two S's, no A.
Melissaart.com.
It's just art. Yeah. Don't ask. Well, it's about the photography, too, so it's a sort of a combination website.
Okay.
And I can put links up there to any upcoming sort of events if anybody wants to check them out who's in the area.
That sounds awesome. So in June, you said, everything ghost hunting?
Well, you'll probably be able to pre-order in June, and then July 1st it will be available for sure at Amazon.com.
And
Barnes & Noble and all the local bookstores.
And people are going to be checking out these things. And obviously, you know, you had a long-time interest and just got the opportunity to get immersed in this.
I was so lucky. I was just in the right place at the right time.
And that's awesome.
And yeah, it is.
I'm really sorry we lost Sean, because I know he had about a dozen more questions, and I wish he told me what his questions were so that I could have asked them of you before.
Well, you can ask me back anytime. I'll be happy to come back when the book is out and I start to get feedback on it, too.
Yeah, because people can say, who's this Nathan guy you quote in here? He's awful. What are you talking about?
Well, I can't wait to send you an autographed copy, Nathan. You were a lot of help. Ooh, I really appreciate it.
I appreciate
you,
that.
You had a unique viewpoint that no one else had, so it was great to talk to you.
That's what gets me in so much trouble in this community.
Call it trouble. Some call it notoriety, you know?
Well, now it is, because it's in print. So. But Melissa, we had a great time having you on tonight. I don't want to end, but I'm afraid our time is up.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Nathan. I really enjoyed it, and I hope that that Sean enjoys Oz. You know, if he gets back next week.
I certainly hope. I feel so bad for the poor guy right now. He's stuck out there in Munchkin Land, and. You know, I hope he gets to the wizard before next week.
Me too. Give him my best.
I'm lost, you know, without my cohort. I've got nobody to do shots with every time somebody says paranormal. It's
how many times did I say it? A million.
Let's just say I'm gonna sleep tonight.
I'm happy to help out.
You help me out a lot. But can you just hang on the line while I wrap up for tonight?
Absolutely.
And thank everybody for joining us tonight, for watching, for listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. And don't forget, if you missed any part of this or any Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, you can find it at Planet Paranormal, Podomatic, Podcast Alley, iTunes, Mediafly, Podbean, Blueberry, Podcast Pickle, the ParaX Radio Network, the Podfeed community, and the Black Vault Radio Network. And be sure to log into our forums at www.ghostanddemon.com. We really want to hear from you, and we want to have you on our mailing list so you know what shows are coming up and where we're going to be. And in the words of Sean Burris, because I can't... Oh, wait, let me just say, no show next week, guys. Easter Sunday, taking it off for all the Easter folk. There's a lot of bunnies we got to keep in business. So, like I was saying in the words of Sean Burris, don't go changing ghost hunters. You know we won't. Good night, everybody.
So say good night to the bad guys.